Storms, but in greater supply, more to go around. High temperatures generally in the low to mid-90s Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Have you guys tried Nuke's Eatery, where everything is served fresh? I just enjoyed one of their 7 real meal deals with a full handcrafted sandwich for just $8.99. Choose a side and a 32-ounce drink. A real meal, only $8.99. Plus, save time when you order online. Some restrictions may apply.
I'm LSSQ with Alabama News Network. Governor Kay Ivey has awarded more than $660,000 to 2 nonprofits. $183,000 of that money will go to the Central Alabama Child Advocacy Center to help young victims of physical, sexual, and emotional abuse in Dallas, Perry, and Wilcox counties. The Montgomery Police Department has cleared multiple recent robberies with the arrest of 44-year-old Shimon Stringer. He is charged with 3 counts of first-degree robbery and 1 count of first-degree receiving stolen property. The charges stem from robberies on July 11th, 12th, and 14th. MPD also charged 18-year-old Patrick Delbridge with 4 counts of first-degree robbery related to recent robberies. The Montgomery Public School Board is revisiting the idea of charter conversion schools for 3 MPS schools. Davis Elementary, Edie Nixon Elementary, and Bellingrath Middle School are up for consideration. The board says if approved, the charter schools could be ready by August 2020. I'm LSSQ for CBS 8 and ABC 32.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
As a kid, I got a kick out of helping my grandpa string up a white sheet in the living room while grandma loaded the reel with home movies. I even enjoy watching the VHS tapes my parents took of me at my first soccer game. My poor dad, running around the field with that huge camcorder on his shoulder, huffing and puffing. I capture all my kiddos' moments on my phone. I don't want to lose this visual history, as I like to call it. I did my research and trusted Dan Black Studios to convert our files and films. Dan Black Studios has provided quality professional video services to the River Region for over 30 years and can convert anything to a DVD or digital format. 8mm films, slides, VHS tapes, iPhone videos and pictures, I mean everything. Dan Black Studios' processing facility is in Montgomery, unlike the big box stores, so you don't have to worry about anything being lost in transit. Preserve your visual history. Call Dan Black Studios at 334-279-6036.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Wednesday. Let me bring in our beloved mayor from the great city of Montgomery, Todd Strange. Mr. Mayor,
thundering applause.
Welcome,
wonderful.
Welcome.
The magic of Joey.
There you go. You can make all sorts of illusions happen here. Right.
Yeah, I'm good. As we talked about before the show, it's been hot, and it's still hot.
Man.
But I will tell you this. I did have an opportunity to have a respite, and we went to France, and I got to Paris on the day, which was the hottest day ever in the history.
You won 114.
Well, that was wind. That was wind. I mean, not wind field, but heat index. It was actually 103.
Man,
103. It was hot.
We've got all the people that are going to qualify for mayor's. Well, for running for mayor. Now all their petitions have been counted, but let me start out with this first question. What are the attributes you think are most needed to be a successful mayor to replace or where the city's situation is right now?
Forget about replacing me. And let me just preface by saying what I've been saying to a lot of audiences, whether they ask me or not, you know, don't let these 13 that are raised their hand and qualified to run for mayor run against me. Hold them accountable for running for Montgomery. It doesn't have to be the same direction. It can be in a different direction and different ideas. But let's run on a positive campaign of what we can do to make Montgomery better. And not let's do something about the worst city I've ever lived in my entire life. Different personalities fit different people. The one thing that I would say to each and every one of them, for good or bad, don't be me, because you can't. You know, if you think there's something out there that we're doing good, fine, embrace it, but put your own stamp of approval. And certainly if there's something that you don't think's going well at all, let's change it immediately and get it going. I think, first of all, the biggest attribute of a person coming in to this office at this time, or most any time, is you got to have the ability to listen. You got to have the ability to listen to people. You got to want to listen to people, and you care about listening to people to find out what's really happening.
When you say listen to people, you're talking about listening to citizens, listening to professionals?
No, listen to the people that are doing the job today, the people that are on the inner sanctum. You might not keep them. You might move them, but at least listen to what, in fact, is going on right now, because so many rumors are out there. I've heard everything from this city is just broke. We're in the best shape financially we've been in 20 or 25 years. That is just crazy. And then they say all this other stuff about we're going to do that. I was trying to remember what somebody told me just that. But listen to who's there. And then the other thing is you got to have some compassion for there. You're not necessarily have to be your brother's keeper, but you are your brother's brother. And so we've got some challenges in our community here, whether it be that homeless issue that's kind of in the news right now, our mental health, our medical, people that are just need that uplifting hand. But it's not a society where you take care of them forever and always, right. But at least you give them the opportunity. In this job, you got to know a little bit about finance. You got to know a little bit about marketing. You got to know a lot about people. You got to be able to, frankly, to articulate. Not that I do that well, but you got to express your ideas and what you're thinking. Challenge the people that are out there. Engage the citizens. Town hall meetings, we did that. We don't do that as much today as we did in the very beginning, but there's not many homeowner association that I've not been in front of in a couple of 3-year period of time. And so have listening sessions with the citizens out there. You're not going to be able to do everything that everybody wants, but you can begin to prioritize and just try to move this city to the next level, because I truly believe in my heart of hearts that we are poised to take on that next level and that next challenge.
Let's go to the phones and take a call real quickly. Red Top, Red Top, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. You're on with Mayor Todd Strange.
Hey, Mayor. I want to tell you a story about something. We got national exposure yesterday on NPR. Were you aware of it?
If it had to do with the... No, I'm not aware of it.
Okay. I was walking by the radio yesterday morning, and I heard the word Montgomery, Alabama. And they were talking about, of course, all the negative stuff and the hate filled Washington, D.C. And these, this nice lady came on from New Orleans that she had come up to Montgomery to spend the weekend to avoid the hurricane. And she was amazed at how great Montgomery had resolved the race issue. I'm using her words.
Yeah.
I'm not making this up. She said the museums downtown, all the Martin Luther King. She said, when you think Montgomery was one of the main slave traders and all the stuff we went in through with civil rights, there would have been racial tension in Montgomery. She said, I felt none anywhere from anybody. And she even made the comment that people in Washington, D.C. should be more like people in Montgomery.
Man.
Wow. That's
amazing. You can't buy
now,
that.
Yeah. Now, you can't buy that. Dan, you enjoy. I know his chest is puffing up and his head's getting real big now.
No.
I hope the headphones
fit. It's not me.
But, you know, Mayor, thank you very much. And Montgomery's not full of crime. It's one of the best. It's the best damn city I've ever lived in. That's why I moved back here 3 times. And you've done a great job. And you've been very tolerant of me.
And that's hard.
Anybody wants to talk like that, I can tolerate all day long.
Yeah, I know you do, but I mean, we haven't agreed, and nobody does agree on everything all the time. But thank you for being a great communicator and a great mayor. We're going to miss you. Thank you, sir.
Well, you're kind, Red Top. I appreciate that. I thought maybe you were going to mention the fact that we signed a 3-year agreement with this technology company in the sanitation side.
We're going to talk about that.
We made the story in the Atlanta Journal, which is a big newspaper. Frankly, that will eventually make it to the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal, because our agency out of New York and out of Charleston, the Lou Hammond Group, will make sure that that is earned media in some of those newspapers. Might even make the USA Today Alabama section. So, you know, those are the kind of things that it doesn't,
let's talk
doesn't
about
matter
that.
How much you pay.
Because I'll have to say the piece that was in the Montgomery Advertiser was not necessarily, it was a little confusing. Tell us about the technology.
Yeah, bottom line is every vehicle that we have in sanitation will have a device that will be able to instantaneously record what's happening in front of you. It will be able to tell you garbage didn't get picked up or it wasn't in there, didn't put it back right. It'll talk about trash that needs to be picked up, talk about evictions that are on the street that really is the homeowner's responsibility, but we'll eventually be picking it up and hopefully charging back the property. It'll tell us all of that as we go through. Because if you think about it, every day, perhaps maybe Sunday is not the day we would do it, but we have 60 or 65 vehicles that goes to every household in the city of Montgomery. And to be able to know what's happening out there, being eyes and ears, not only for the sanitation side, but law enforcement, the social issues, whatever's out there. But in addition to all of that, there is a device on each and every vehicle that will talk about, and that data will give us a route to optimization. We got 64, 65 routes. Maybe we only need 57 or 55 routes. And if you take 8 trucks off the road, that's over $1 million in capital expenditure and the maintenance. And also, it will tell us what the condition of the vehicle is. Is it overheating? And can we now do something minor to repair that overheating rather than putting in a $10,000 motor later, the flu versus the pneumonia? And so it's going to be very helpful to us in an efficiency standpoint, an effectiveness standpoint, and also preventive maintenance standpoint.
Did the reporter from Montgomery Advertiser interview you on this, or did they just come up with the story?
Brett Harper did it. They've interviewed us in the past. It's been part of
Let me ask the questions that he didn't ask.
Okay.
Okay. So what we have is a police officer, for example, will see something and report it to a central
system?
No, not
system. A police officer. A sanitation worker.
Okay, so a sanitation worker will report something.
Well, it's automatically reported.
Okay, but, well, how is it automatically reported?
Because the data gets captured.
How does the data get captured?
Through the device. through the artificial intelligence.
So what's happening is the truck is looking at things and seeing?
Yes, the device is, but it's not connected to StarWatch, if that's what you're trying to get.
No. I'm trying to figure out how you're capturing the data.
The camera that's in front of you.
So the camera that's on the truck sees a pile of garbage out there. And so
that data
artificial intelligence sees it.
Records that by the street address. It goes into our system. It's downloaded into the system at the end of the route.
Okay, and so then that truck is told to go back and go get that at some
maybe
point in
because
the future.
What generally would happen if we are responsible for that and for whatever reason we didn't pick it up, yes, they'd be dispatched. But more often than not, what will happen is somebody will come in and said, well, the truck didn't pick up my garbage. Well, what we'll do from management standpoint, we'll go review the situation and find out that the truck came by there at 7:25 and the can wasn't there.
Right.
And didn't get there till sometime later. It's a management tool that's going to...
I like that.
Yeah. It's going to be very... It's going to make us a lot more efficient, and we will save tons of money in particularly maintenance and route optimization.
So in the route optimization, what you're going to do is you have a GPS and it's tracking on the truck.
Correct.
And seeing where you're crossing paths.
That's correct. And maybe... maybe there might be a route. Maybe there might be a route that you don't need to go 2 days a week at. Maybe you might only need to go 1 day a week.
What would the citizens have to say about that?
Well, they might have to pay a little less money.
I know they would hate that.
Yeah, it's just hateful. But more likely than not, people want more than 2 days a week. But you show me a city that picks up garbage 2 days a week and trash the third day.
Does this give you the ability to exclude some houses for picking up and so someone can opt out of and do one?
No.
So it has to be an entire route.
Well, there are a lot of houses today that do not have water. And if they don't have water, there's no billing mechanism, so they won't pick up their trash.
Interesting. Let me go to a break. I want to come back on panhandlers and other things. Dan Moore Show will be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show. You really don't want me. Just keep me hanging on.
Your real head's on me, man. Just keep me. Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
The best things in life are free.
Hi, folks. Rusty here. And everybody knows that the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest is on every weekday evening at 7 right here on News Talk 93.1. The show can also be heard Saturday mornings at 8:30 and Sunday afternoons at 1. We're also on television. The Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest is on ABC 32 Saturday evenings at 5 right before the national news. David is very excited. You'll be excited too because David's right there in living color telling you some good news about your money. If you're the kind of person who likes to plan ahead, you should call David Ernest today at 334-279-7431. Let David show you how to put your money to work so when retirement rolls around, you don't have to worry. Don't miss the Health and Wealth Show Saturday evenings at 5 on ABC 32. Oh, he's still excited.
Hi, this is Jeff Mallinson with Georgia Floors Direct, and I want to talk to you about Blue Water Broadcast and how they've helped my business spread the word. As every small business owner, I have to look at my advertising dollars carefully, and Blue Water Broadcast helps me get the most for every dollar I spend. I'm so glad to be a part of Blue Water Broadcasting and what they bring to Montgomery.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are on a Wednesday. I know you deceive me, now here's a surprise. Maritime Strange in the house.
Who's that music?
The Who. I can see from miles.
Yeah, I love that. Nice.
Let's talk about the panhandler legislation and ordinance, and what's your sense of it now? And is this limited to a area of Montgomery or all of Montgomery? Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's not effective yet. Without any criticism at all, that was a rush to judgment, a knee-jerk reaction for a problem, a challenge that we have with panhandling. There's a huge difference between panhandling and homelessness. And so the panhandling is an enterprise. It's a business. Literally. We've got example after example after example. The captain, you know, signing the station and the times and get the necessary money, and then they go off in their sports SUV or whatever and come back at the appointed time. A lot different from the homeless side of the equation. So I could have vetoed it, or I could have signed it. It came up while I was gone. Got a 9-0 vote, which is shocking to me without much conversation whatsoever, because it's a huge issue in and of itself. So I didn't do either. The ordinance has gone on the books, but it's up to us as administrators to implement them, and so I could delay implementation. And so I have delayed it a minimum of 60 days to talk to the various folks. My personal feeling and that of our some of our staff attorneys, there's some constitutionality issues that we have to address and have to deal with. You know, I don't like to be threatened by people that they're going to file lawsuits. I was pretty upset about that. We've had a great relationship with the Southern Poverty Law Center over the years. We've not always agreed, but we've always been able to get around the table with the leadership and work certain things out. For me to find out about it from a news article before I even got the letter, that was really disheartening to me. But we're going to meet with various elements of people that have a concern and also have some responsibility in the homeless side of the equation to see how we, in fact, can differentiate it between the panhandling as a business enterprise and the homelessness. There is an ordinance today that says you can come get a solicitation license. And you can pay a fee to get a solicitation license. But what we don't want is you using it as a business profit center and also putting yourself and all motorists at risk jumping out in the middle of the street or hitting golf balls and they go astray and, you know, hit your cars and things like that. I mean, all of that is above. So over the next little bit of time, we'll meet with elements. We're putting together a meeting with the Homeless Coalition that we've worked with quite well over the years. A couple of concerned citizens, Southern Poverty will be involved in it, and our police department will be part of the meeting, because, you know, everybody was saying, well, we'll walk into it, we'll ease into the implementation. Well, nobody sat down and, you know, chatted how we're going to do all that stuff. So at the end of the day, we'll do something that's going to be helpful to those people that don't want to be bothered, that and protect safety. What I'd like to do is to really go after the panhandlers and arrest them and put them in jail to keep them from doing a business abroad, but capture also those homeless and get them into a facility or a place or an organization where they can be helped. And that's really what the ultimate goal is.
You mentioned mental health a little while ago. Is the city of Montgomery doing something on mental health issues?
Oh, my gosh. We have been working on mental health for so many years. You know, mental health is really under the auspices of the probate judge, and he's been at the table, and the hospitals have been at the table, and county commission, and we've all been at the tables. And this is a personal view, and I'll express it. We, as a community, because we have not done what we should have done in mental health because we hadn't had the leadership
right.
that we need to have, particularly at the local level. Now that Lynn Beshear's at the state, she can only help us so much. She's got the right. entire state she's got to worry about. But there has been change.
But we have a good friend in Lynn Beshear.
We have a great friend in Lynn. There has been a change at leadership. We woke up and found out the board that's 26 strong, of which we, the city of Montgomery, who pays the triple the amount of anybody else, we got three board members. The county has got three board members. So six of 26 from Montgomery County. Fort Deposit has two appointments to the
mental health authority. The thriving metropolis in Fort Deposit.
Yeah, and so what we did is we pulled all of the elected leadership together about a year or so ago, county commission and some of the mayors, and we made sure that the slots that we had to appoint to that 26-member commission got appointed by somebody that cares. Ken Austin was the most recent appointment that we made. Nobody cares more than Ken Austin about that. So I believe we're beginning to at least get our hands around it. The executive director and our police department are now meeting to have some game plans of modus operandi when you run across these mental health issues at 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's probably not a week goes by, and Matt can correct me, that we in some shape, form, or fashion don't have to talk a person out of killing themselves or killing others or jumping off of a bridge or things like that. I mean, that's a law enforcement contribution. In addition to that, we fund four, between the city and the county, four counselors that just keep tabs on those inmates that have now been released from county and city detention to make sure that they take their meds and make sure that they get to the appointments with the law enforcement and the correction officers or the parole officers on time, trying to keep them out of trouble again. And the recidivism rate is extremely low for those that we've got able to be put into that particular program. So we are doing things. We're not doing enough.
Are we getting better at when a police officer encounters somebody that they think has a problem, where you have a mental health expert come and do a straight interview with them?
That's exactly what we're trying to get accomplished.
That's a problem.
Because we can do it during the daylight hours today. There's people on staff at the Mental Health Authority to do that. But after dark, they don't. And so what we're trying to do is, how much would it cost for them to staff up to be able to come at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Because that's definitely needed.
Absolutely.
Because what's happening is the police officer's making a decision. He's picking up the phone and calling probate judge and saying, I've got this. Can we do it? And then the center will go, well, this guy's already been here four times, you know, in the last week.
More likely than not, they're either going to end up in the emergency room at the hospital or jail.
Right.
Now, they may need to be in the
72-hour watch.
The hospital, but what we need is an emergency crisis center. We've got an intermediate crisis center right now, 16 beds. We need at least 16 beds on a here and now crisis center where they can be evaluated and determine whether they do need to go to jail, whether they do need to go to the hospital, or do need to go to another care facility just to get their meds squared away. But right today, we don't have any choices. Now, unfortunately, because of, in my view, lack of leadership previously, we came to the brink of being able to do that, but the bureaucratic red tape got in our way. I tell you how bureaucratic red tape it is. Creel Hospital is a nice facility. Got about 100 beds over there. That's where the mental health is. they've got 16 beds that's intermediate in one wing of the facility. They go there and they can stay 2 to 3 weeks to try to get to recovery before they go to a in-community apartment or something like that that has some supervision, but may have 20 in that particular apartment deal. You've got then, what, another 76 beds that could be available if you just took 16 of them to have an emergency center that you could do a diagnostic. It costs you $3 million to staff it. Guess what? You can't co-locate because of the Medicaid reimbursement. We even tried to wall up the facility. We even tried to separate it in two different addresses, but yet bureaucratic.
Welcome to the federal government.
Right, exactly.
Gonna be back with Todd Strange and Telephone Calls right after this.
Your news talk place to be, the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Have you ever thought you'd like to own a zero-turn riding mower, but you just couldn't justify it because either your yard is too small or the price is too big? Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power introducing the new Hustler Dash. At only 34 inches wide, the Hustler Dash is perfect for small yards. And starting at only $21.99 or payments as low as $50 a month, it's the perfect price. Bottom line, the Hustler Dash is the most compact, affordable zero-turn on the market today. And when you purchase CTE's VIP package, you get free delivery upon purchase. And for as long as you own your Hustler, you'll get free pickup and delivery, free blade sharpening, our 7-day repair guarantee, and a free rental mower while yours is in our service department. Well, with service like that, why go anywhere else? And military personnel, to honor you, please ask about our military discounts. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com.
Fox News, I'm Pam Puso. Inappropriate and disgusting. That's how House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is again characterizing President Trump's tweets about four freshman Democratic congresswomen. Pelosi also defending yesterday's vote along party lines, condemning the president.
You have no idea the provisions that some people wanted to have in that resolution.
The president reacting on Twitter with this.
Democrats in Congress are getting nothing done. Not on drug pricing, not on immigration, not on infrastructure, not on nothing. So much opportunity, yet all they want to do is go fishing.
Fox's John Decker, the president sure to mention the firestorm at a rally tonight in North Carolina. January of 2020, a Florida judge proposing a trial date for Nicholas Cruz. He's accused of shooting and killing 17 people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School last year. This is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Blue Haven Pools. Building and designing an amazing new smart pool is just a click away. Learn more about smart pools that are virtually chemical free by visiting bluehaven.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. The big heat is back, and that dominates much of the eastern half of the nation. I think we could be in the upper 90s for the next couple of days, with a high around 97 today and tomorrow, and the heat index approaching the 105 danger range. Any storms that do pop up will be very isolated in nature. Most towns will stay dry. Low temperatures at night in the middle 70s. Then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the rain chances improve. There'll still be random storms, but in greater supply, more to go around. High temperatures generally in the low to mid-90s Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Smart Skin Spa and Salon is the River Region's full-service med spa, day spa, and salon. Located in historic downtown Prattville, with over 500 square feet, Smart Skin offers over 100 services of all things beauty and relaxation. Find them online or on Facebook now.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Place to be, the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Mr. Mayor, let's hit up some telephone calls here. Let's go to Urbanite. Urbanite has a question for Mayor Todd Strange.
Yeah, Mayor, I'm still a fan, but I do have some hard questions right now.
Good.
The thing that's going on with the Salvation Army, I know it's linked indirectly with all the stuff with the bombs and the all that, the panhandling. My fear is that we're going to get sidetracked worrying about people who don't really care about this city, can't take care of themselves, and we're going to blow our future. The reason I call myself Urbanite is because I've lived in four of the cities that have been named best cities in America. And I can sense Montgomery is at the precipice. But Montgomery's been at the precipice before, and we've always gotten derailed by some just backward crap. And this is a good example of you it's not really you, but not standing up to the people who want to make a national agenda, a local agenda, like the Southern Poverty Law Center, who, to my knowledge, has done very little to really help people. But anyway, by the way, what's the story on medical expansion on the west side? Is there ever going to be a new hospital, or do you see AUM ever getting a medical program?
Well, you got right there. From a hospital standpoint, I mean, you got the nice, very nice hospital, Bad Disease, right at AUM. AUM, Auburn has a nice nursing.
On the west side.
On the west side. You said AUM. You meant ASU.
That's the only one that's left as far as a school.
Well, St. Jude was out there at one point in time, but it didn't make it. You know, medical is such an expensive proposition. You got rural hospitals right and left closing. So I just do not see a Greenfield's new facility going anywhere, whether it be west side, north side, east side, or south. Let me go back to the Salvation Army situation. If you've ever been to the Salvation Army, it's I don't even know how to describe it. It's a disgrace. Built for men. Now we've got kids. Now we've got women, families in there. They need a new home. Where they choose to go is really their business. From our perspective, we're trying to help them relocate because that property is pretty valuable for a significant development that we want to bring to Montgomery that would, at a minimum, bring 300,000 new people to Montgomery, spending a day or two or three just with the activities that are there. So from that standpoint, it's all about economic development for us. Salvation Army in the past has not done as I thought they should have by making the people leave at after breakfast and come back for lunch and then leave again and come back for dinner. They need to have some training programs and some education, GEDs, things of that nature to have them there so that they can teach them life skills and job skills so they can go get a job and not live in the Salvation Army. So we're not going to bow down to anybody. We're going to do what's right. And as we talked about on this panhandling deal, there's a big difference between homeless and panhandling. What we don't want is people running out in the streets, people harassing other people for the business of making a profit. The homeless side of the equation, we need to love with compassion and to get into every support system that we can. But government cannot take care of every single solitary soul.
Oh, come on.
We've got to help the not-for-profit sector be responsive. We've got to encourage our citizens to be supportive of the not-for-profit so that we can leverage all of these assets we have and make Montgomery a city that cares about everybody. But at the same time, we're out there trying to make it a business-friendly place that we all get along.
Hey, Mayor, I would have my people study Sacramento.
You think they got a good one out there?
I don't know. Well, I said study it because it was once one of the powerhouses of California. As you know, it's the capital. It's a joke, just like San Francisco's become a joke. You have a good one.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Urban Knight.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Randall. Randall, welcome aboard the Damar Show on a Wednesday. You're on with Mayor Todd Strange.
How about Mr. Mayor?
Randall.
I was coming to sing your praises, but you kind of touched on it because I was going to say you wasn't being a lame duck, that you was trying to combine a $50 million project with a $5 to $9 million project so Montgomery won't have no more homelessness. Because when somebody's out there asking for money, they will be a panhandler in 4 years if you get your way. Is that not correct? Ain't you trying to help them get that started? What you just touched on, ain't you trying to get that brought in now?
What am I getting trying to brought in?
Trying to combine the $50 million and the Salvation Army together and expand Salvation Army. Is that not your idea for the future?
No, I'm not on the board of Salvation Army. I'm not trying to do anything with Salvation Army except buy the piece of property that they're owned today on Maxwell Boulevard so that we can put in a $50 million project that will bring in 300,000 people. Where the Salvation Army relocates is really between them and whomever owns the property. We didn't even suggest the location.
Let me interrupt you here, if you don't mind. Are you looking at buying the property, or are you looking at brokering the deal with the investor group that's building the property?
Well, it would be, at the end of the day, the investor group, but we're obviously at the front end of this, and frankly, this is a public-private partnership that would be to be together. The reason that it's targeted to where it is because the elected leadership that represents that area 3 years ago came to us and said, this is a really nice piece of property that's owned by the housing authority. We got all the infrastructure. Why don't you locate it here? And we said, boy, that sounds like a really good idea.
Really good idea.
Yeah. So that's why that guy, I didn't pick that out. Matter of fact, none of us in the city picked it out. And at the end of the day, the city council doesn't have any vote, nor does the mayor have any vote on where the Salvation Army actually relocates, if they in fact do relocate.
Well, maybe this would be the time to put a little money, make a little deal and add to the Salvation Army and make it into where they get brought in and they can stay all day and they can get job training.
You're exactly right, man. Let's give them that training opportunity. If they need to buy a van to help them get to the jobs or to find employment, we can do that all day long. But they've got to change their philosophical approach and their policy approach by saying, you got to leave here after breakfast. Let's get them the job skills. Let's get them the GED training. Let's get them, welding or carpentry or whatever else it is. Computers. Lord have mercy. Computers would be very inexpensive to be able to do.
Well, if you got $50 million, something coming in going to bring on 300,000 people, I think you could add another $5 million to their $5 million and make a $10 million Salvation Army that does this, and that not even have to have a van. You bring them there, they stay there. If you already got a Section 8 housing set up like that, they stay there, they learn, they train, and they leave there, and you ain't never got to worry about nobody on the corners again. Look, man, you've been a hell of a mayor, bro.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for the telephone call, Randall. Let's go to Chad. Chad, welcome aboard the Damar Show.
How you guys doing? Hey, Mayor, how are you?
Man, we're just having fun.
Wait, hold on. Are you up in the Highlands still?
No, I'm back home now. I know the mayor likes to go up there. So.
Well, because I got some good friends and it's cool.
Right. Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I love it up there. So I'm going to ask you
Hello, Barry Harmon.
Yeah, I know Barry.
Thomas Harris.
Thomas Harris, there you go.
I see him up there every time. In fact, I see half of Montgomery up there when I'm up there.
Yeah, I know.
Especially over in that area.
Let me ask you a question because you just said the magic words that tingle my ears, and that's the public-private partnership on the on the riverfront project y'all are talking about doing,
right,
the water park there. So what is the public portion of the project? How much money is the city going to commit if that goes
down? Yeah. I don't want to get into all of the details because some of them are still in negotiation, but
right. This
actually is a county project.
Okay.
County visioned this with the chamber. They were stepping up to do a bond issue, to do the heavy lifting. We actually own the property. We bought that property 15 years or so ago with a land swap with the military.
This is down from where the Salvation Army is.
This is just next door.
Okay.
Yeah, the next door.
Where those
would the public portion of it be the infrastructure? No.
We will contribute the property.
Yeah.
And the construction dollars, there will be the state is contributing dollars. Some private sector people are contributing dollars. The waterworks have contributed. What I'm trying to do as a city is give the property, provide all of the tax revenue that comes from the activities within the center, and not have any other obligations, because a couple of these others have had a hiccup, although they're very successful today. One of them had to restructure about 15 years ago during the Great Recession, and another one built on the cheap and had to put in $20 million. That's what I'm trying to protect, is the citizens of the city from the downside. Let's go into it. It performs nicely. It's a great amenity for bringing in people. Maxwell loves it because you got team building and all that kind of stuff there. You got 10,000 people on a rotating basis to be there. Kavon Duravi has said 300,000 comes through. It pencils even if only 90,000 come through.
Can you describe to me what the project is? Is it going to be canoeing and are you at liberty to
do what you did with me and tell them the website?
Yeah. Without telling you what it is, go to Charlotte, North Carolina, and find out what great water amenity.
I know what they have. That'd be great if we had that.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. All right, Mayor. Good. Hey, we're going to miss you.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Chad. Yeah, a trip to the Highlands would be good for us like today. Golf would be much better up there. 272-9228.
The ball goes further.
Yeah, right.
That's why I like
it. You're not so tired.
No. The altitude.
Oh,
the thin air.
The Denver effect. 5,800 feet will get you there. We'll be back with the last segment with Mayor Todd Strange right after this.
Dan Morris Show.
Giving voice to liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
Sometimes you need things done around your house or land that your lawnmower or weed eater just can't handle. That's when you call Prattville Farm Center. They bring their own crew and equipment and clear whatever you need. They say no job is too small. I've been going to Prattville Farm Center for years, and I like dealing with hometown folks. They get the job done right and get it done quickly. If you have land that needs clearing, call Randy at Prattville Farm Center on South Memorial Drive in Prattville. Call 365-5400.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now,
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Okay, guys, final segment with Mayor Todd Strange, 272-9228. Mayor, I mentioned this guy's name to you, and you kind of perked up here. He's an old friend of mine. We started in radio together in Troy, Alabama.
Is that because y'all got faces for radio?
Yeah, that's how we got started. Dan Black Studio. He's a magician when it comes down to videos. Turning your Betamax, your VHS, 8mm, anything on tape or film, and turn it into a digital product for you where you can put it on DVD or a jump drive and have it forever. So call Dan Black, Dan Black Studios, 334-676-1734, 676-1734, Dan Black Studios. Let's talk police force. Let's talk about...
I thought he's on the line.
No.
Oh, gosh. I was going to get a chance to say hello. Yeah, police force. The official number would be 275-74, but we've got a class, and we count those that are in training. And so if we can get everybody in class and everybody out of class, which we won't, but we'll be back over that 500 number. And so the official number is 474. But we should be close to that 500 within a
couple
of months.
What you're doing or how it's being done, but I've really noticed a police presence is a lot more.
Yeah.
Particularly in my area, in the mountain, the McGee Estates and that area, Hillwood.
Well, we in my view, we've done a better job of what they call putting cops on the dots. A little more predictive. You take a risk, but a little more predictive analysis of where it's going to happen. The 12-hour shifts have really helped us multiply our manpower. We've taken as many people out of administration as we can and put them on the street. Some of our people that were retiring and leaving now are not necessarily doing that, although you're always going to have that because we've changed our policy both on the tattoo and the beard, as you can see from my executive officer here. So we're trying to be in the 21st century as it becomes to what the mores are of today. So I feel real good. We're getting a lot of traction with this Star Watch. We're putting in tons of cameras. The private sector, we've had some incidences in some automobile dealerships. Now we've got automobile dealerships wanting to come to the table. The gas stations, we've had some issues with some crowd sourcing it. Now we're getting those people. Well, not on Ann Street, but others. We're now getting those cameras online. And so those cameras and the neighborhood cameras are going to be very, very, very helpful for us to solve, but also to be in a more proactive basis.
Real quickly, how do the neighborhood groups that are communicating on the internet, are those helpful to the police?
No.
They're not?
No.
Would you explain why? Yeah. Because I see it your way, and I tell people they need to kind of calm down and slow down.
Well, let's just take my neighborhood, and so let me put it in the context. This is not my position, but you see somebody that doesn't look like they belong in Vaughn Meadows walking down the street, and a neighbor calls, and we're going to run out there because they called and try to – I mean, the guy is just the yard person next door just kind of taking a break or so or something like that. Or we get a text, and we monitor all those. We get a text that somebody is been killed in front of the Crampton Bowl, and we run out there. Nothing is there. No nothing. 10, 15, 20% of what gets reported may be, in fact, correct, but it gets embellished, and then as the story goes and the story goes and the story goes, it's fine. Some of the neighborhood networks, like Vaughn Meadows has their own neighborhood network, they might say, well, be on the lookout for a dog who's out, or, hey, there's a car in a driveway backed up to the back door. Bingo, that's helpful to be able to get that done at that point in time. But some of these uncuts and neighborhood deals are not helpful.
Let's go to the phones and go to Keith. Keith has a question for Mayor Todd Strange.
How you doing, Mayor? I got two quick questions for you.
Yes, sir.
The smart technology on the dump truck, the garbage truck, are they going to be monitoring road conditions like bottles and stuff?
that the answer, the simple answer is yes, but the but is we also have through robotics the opportunity to ride every road in Montgomery, and that's in under contract that says what the condition it rates through artificial intelligence what the condition of that road is from 1 to 5. We have a program right now that everything that's 3.5 and above rated is scheduled within a 2-year period of time, spending about $1.2 million a year to be able to get that. Now, we filled up 17,000 potholes last year. You report a pothole to 311, I promise you it'll be within a day or two or three, that pothole will be finished. Because we got a roving group that's all they do. But the answer right. is we've got two methodologies to look to find road surfaces that need attention. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that if it gets rated a 2, that's going to get done next week, because it has to be put in to the larger scheme. Because on average, you're going to spend $80,000 a mile to redo a stretch of road, depending upon curbs and gutters and sidewalks and things like that.
Right. My next question, real quick. We're getting these smart meters downtown, parking meters, where we can automatically refill the meter from our cell phone?
Yes, sir.
Our meters plainly state on them, it's unlawful to receive the meter.
Yeah, that's right.
How's that going
to
work?
Well, that's a local ordinance. It just won't be accepted. No. You can't refeed the meters today, technically. Right. Legally, I'm sorry, not technically. Legally, you can.
Okay.
Because just think about it. Why are there parking meters? It's not to stay all day. It's not a revenue stream.
Right.
It's to move the traffic so that somebody else can come in and do commerce.
Exactly. That's why I was saying, I mean, why would they be allowed to repeat them, from an app on a phone?
Yeah, you should not, and you cannot in Montgomery, Alabama. Some places you can. You know, it just kills me when I go into a store or a restaurant and the wait staff comes up and says, "Mayor, we need no more parking meters outside so that we can park there."
That's a convenient. Keith, thanks for the telephone call. Let's talk about the 911. Are we moving 911 in texting capabilities?
Yes.
When will that come?
I can't give you the chapter and verse, but that is the next generation, and it is in process.
That is going to help policing out a tremendous amount, particularly when you can send a picture.
Can we text today?
Yes.
We can text today.
Can you send pictures?
No.
Cannot. Yeah, I was online looking at some of that stuff.
Yeah.
The technology, when you add pictures and videos on there, where you can send it to the dispatch and they can get that to the officer in the car, that is huge.
As a general statement, 911 is funded by the state of Alabama through the charge to your land and cell phone. It's really not funded by our general fund. We manage it, our employees, but we generally are able to take advantage of all that new technology.
Real quickly, finances, are we?
Oh, last month we were up 9% in our revenue stream. Year to date, we're over right at 5%. Hotel occupancy still to be strong. And that's 1 month away from the biggest month that we would have ever had because of EJI opening. We're doing quite well. Somebody said on the radio the other day that we're broke. We've got about $265 million in debt. The highest we've been is about $330. So we've paid a bunch of that down. We got $24 million in reserve. We're in the best financial position we've been in probably 20, 25 years.
Mayor, I want to thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
See you next month.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
News 93.1, Demo Show. We're out of here. Joey, thanks for a great show.
Good show.
Guys, be good. Be safe.